Tuesday edition, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick with you. Derek Mason on vacation. Nick Kieser behind the glass on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a great start to your day so far. A lot to get into, including coming up in just a few minutes, Randy Huth, the Nolensville Little League head coach. It's Little League World Series time again. We're going to talk to him. Pretty cool to see a Nolensville team, or a team from Middle Tennessee, doing the things that they're doing.
Well, they've got to get the win today. They play this afternoon in the regionals. If you've been flipping through ESPN at all, you probably have seen some Little League Baseball on your screen at some point. The regionals are going on all around the country, and our guys from Nolensville are one win away from getting to Williamsport. So they play at, let's see, I believe it's 4 o'clock. Yes, 4 o'clock Central Time on ESPN, on the big one. And we'll see if they can get it done. We'll talk to their skipper today.
Yeah, it would be cool. I was watching a little bit of the games last night that were on. But, you get into August, that's when this happens. And I can remember one of my first assignments here at 102.5 The Game was we went out to – I think it was Darren and I. We went out to I forgot what team. It may have been Nolensville.
Well, it's good. No, I think it was Goodlettsville.
Goodlettsville. That's what it was. And interviewed the coach.
Yep. And they've had some great teams, Goodlettsville, over the years. Nolensville, which I think is sort of a spinoff of the South Nashville Little League, has had some great teams. So it seems like those are the two entities that always seem to get into contention of this. And so let's see. Let's see what happens today. Let's see if they can get to Williamsport again. I think both have been at least twice, Goodlettsville and Nolensville / South Nashville, over the years. In the last, I want to say probably 10, 12 years, there's been four or five overall teams from our area, our listening area, that have made it. So we'll see if we can add another one to the list. They play Virginia today, Loudoun South. And so it's down in Warner Robins, Georgia, that has been the site for a lot of the Southeast regionals over the years. So we'll see if they can pull it off.
Adam Schefter putting out about 30 minutes ago that the Titans are signing former Browns safety Adrian Colbert to a one-year contract, that according to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. Titans have, I guess, battled some injuries in the secondary. So I look at this as probably a camp body. But Adrian Colbert reportedly being signed to a one-year deal coming in with the Titans. And that is, you kind of watch right now. And McCreary didn't practice yesterday. I know Imani Hooker's been out some. Think they'll be okay. You don't get too caught up in that right now. But obviously secondary is a position everybody's paying attention to with this team. Want to have as many bodies there as possible.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this guy. I got to tell you, this just went down in the last few days. Is he a guy that could stick? I don't know.
Probably not. He played six games last year between Cleveland and the Jets.
But you never know. You never know if he comes in and he's a fit. There's got to be a reason they signed him. I don't know if it's a camp body or not. I guess, you take your shot. Maybe he can find a role. You need those guys, those utility guys that could maybe back up at a safety position. Go in on a package, a nickel or a dime, and cover somebody. As we've said, what does the secondary lack? It lacks experience. So you never have enough of them. We have gone through the list the last few years of no-name guys that get hooked into this team and end up playing. So there's got to be hope, right? This guy has, I'm sure, seen several guys who have made this team and played some games, and he's got to be saying, why not me?
Yeah. We've been through 10 training camp practices so far, roughly. Ones that, over the course of the last couple weeks. They're about to play their first preseason game Thursday night at Baltimore. I doubt we're going to see Tannehill. We already know we're not going to see Henry. Probably won't see Robert Woods. You're not going to see a lot of the main guys. But through the first couple weeks of training camp, when you view this team, how do you feel? Do you have a feeling yet on kind of where they're at, or do you just kind of want to see how it plays out in the first game?
The first preseason game?
Yeah, or at least get through the first preseason.
I could care less of what happens in the preseason game. Here is my feeling overall. I think that you're going to see a lot of people pick the Colts to win the division.
I think they already are.
Some people already have. Some people wait smartly until the end of training camp before they make division predictions, which I think probably have the most value. But I think barring a big injury to Jonathan Taylor or, you know, somebody very important for the Colts, you're going to see a ton of people pick the Colts. And I say to that, okay, do it. I was listening to the MMQB podcast this morning. They have the Titans 16th in their power rankings, and they have them both of the hosts, including Connor Orr, who we've had on a few times, who I think is really good. They have a lot of respect for the Titans coaching staff. They love Derrick Henry, love Jeffrey Simmons, but they both hands down, pick the Colts to win the division. They have the Titans competing for a wild card. I say good. I hope that happens by a lot of people. One of the guys went as far as to say they thought the Colts should have won the division last year. So as we've said before, the Titans outperformed their statistical numbers last year. So they're going to have to be better. They could be better this year statistically and still not win 12 games. I do think they were a bit fortunate last year. But that being said, I still love their chances to win the division. I still think I'm going to pick them to win the division. Ironically, I didn't pick them to win the division last year. I picked the Colts to win and the Titans to win 11 games and make the wild card. I thought the Titans would be good. I only missed them by one win. But I think you're going to see kind of a lack of respect around the country for the consistency of the Titans. A lot of it has to do with Ryan Tannehill and the expectation level for him. What happened in the latest impression that he gave everybody, I think, contributes a lot to that. But I think that's one of the best things you could have if you're Mike Vrabel and the psyche of that team. Have everybody pick the Colts. That's good.
Well, and here's the thing. Here's something else to consider. 2020 and then last year, 2021, that is the first time since the merger that this team has won back-to-back division titles. Now going for three in a row, which the only time that they've done that was going back to the old AFL when they won the East three straight years. So they haven't done it since the merger. So they're trying to do that. If you are a betting man, which I know you're not, the Titans are the second favorite, according to Vegas Insider, to win the AFC South at plus 160. So getting plus money, the Colts now the favorite at minus 120.
To me, that says a lot.
I think a lot of people are going to go on the Colts and pick the Colts. They're buying the Matt Ryan Kool-Aid, drinking the Matt Ryan Kool-Aid, which is fine.
I think that's a big part of it. I think he's the shiny new toy. I think Matt Ryan in name is exciting for predictors. I think also the youth of Jonathan Taylor versus the stage of the career that Derrick Henry's in might contribute. But I say to all that, okay, I'll take the Titans. I love the odds. You're giving me better odds that the Titans will win the division? Bring it on.
Well, and
I like it.
I'll tell you this too. A lot of the talk, and I think the reason a lot of people are buying the Colts is because of how vocal Matt Ryan has been, how, you know, Matt Ryan is being viewed as he's come in and kind of changed the culture, showing leadership and everything, which is fine.
Great. And that can mean as much as you want it to mean in training camp.
But guess what? I'm seeing a difference in Ryan Tannehill. And I heard Jared talking about it yesterday. I mean, there is a difference. He has a different aura about him in a good way. I mean, I can tell that he's really taken ownership of what happened against the Bengals and his part in that and throwing three interceptions, that last year wasn't a good year or as good of a year for him. I mean, granted, I know they were the number one seed, but statistically for Ryan Tannehill, it wasn't a great year. There was definitely something off, and we've documented all those things. But to see him take that ownership and get after guys, showing that he is a leader. You know, because the tough part is, and you remember this with Mariota, that just because he's a starting quarterback doesn't make him always make you a great leader. And Mariota wasn't vocal. He wasn't the rah-rah, get-in-your-face guy. And Tannehill isn't really either, but you're seeing some of those things that, you know, I've witnessed in practice that make you go, okay, that's good. He's got the command of the huddle. He's got the command of the locker room right now. He already had the respect, but I think that's certainly going to help, especially with a lot of these young guys.
I hope you're right. I think the best players, the ones that have the best overall careers, keep finding ways to get better. I'm hoping that's part of it with Tannehill. I do take with a grain of salt any training camp report that you have, especially at this point. It's all camp news. You can spin it any way you want. And Tannehill could have a great camp and then have a poor regular season. Matt Ryan could have a great camp and then a poor regular season. We have to wait and see. But I like Ryan Tannehill with the Titans. He's been there. He's been with the team. You know what you're getting. And hopefully you get the best version of that. I think it's a wild card what you're going to get from Matt Ryan in a new system. I also, other than they have one very good receiver in Indianapolis, there's a whole huge list of question marks of who the other receivers are with the Colts. And that's the case with the Titans as well. So we'll wait and see. But you give me the choice of the two rosters, the more I look at it, I like the Titans. So I am sort of enjoying how much love the Colts are getting from afar when they haven't won anything the last couple of years.
Coming up next, we will shift gears. We'll get back into the Titans at the bottom of the hour. Randy Huth, who is the head coach at Nolensville Little League, they're playing later today. We will check in with him as the Little League World Series is approaching. So we will do that coming up next. But first, Willie, you're going to tell us about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. Loan Pronto, of course, has some solutions for you financially. If you are in need of some cash and looking for some cash to get some things going for you financially, pay off some bills, pay off a second mortgage, pay off a car loan, pay a tuition, whatever might be going on in your life, right now Loan Pronto's got some great mortgage rates right now. 30-year fixed APRs in the fours, 15-year APRs that start with a 3. So lots of people are refinancing and doing some great home improvements. Rates have come back down. Lots of folks who had to take out loans with 5 and 6% rates just a few months ago are now refinancing to shave hundreds off of their payments now. So if you're in that boat, make sure you check out Loan Pronto and see if you can improve your situation. Loan Pronto will get you the lowest rate no matter what your goal is, and not all lender mortgages are created equal. Loan Pronto is known for being the low rate leader. So give them a shot. Super fast process, virtually zero paperwork, and no hassle. Give them a call, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. That's 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick here with you. Coming up today on ESPN at 4 o'clock, Nolensville will take on London South out of Virginia. The winner will head to Williamsport for the Little League World Series. We say hello to the head coach of the Nolensville Little League team, Randy Huth. He is on the line with us. Randy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, man. Appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I know this this has been a fun summer so far, but I know you want to keep it going with this one today. So early scouting report, what have you seen out of Loudoun South out of Virginia?
Well, they're a good team. You know, the only problem that they have is that they lost early in the tournament and they've had to play every single day, whereas we stayed in the winner's bracket. So we didn't have to, we had a day off yesterday, and then 2 days ago, we had 3 days ago, we had a day off before our last game. So we're well rested, whereas they've had to play every single day. So I feel like that's an advantage for us, but that team's a really good team.
So on those days off, how do you keep your kids engaged? You know, also knowing that, you know, maybe they need a mental break, but you don't want to have too much of one.
Well, they're 12. So, you know, you got to do things to keep them loose and have fun. But then you also, we still have practice times during the day where we get out there and we work on, you know, the normal stuff that we would do if we were back home. But we also have to do things like stay loose. So last night, for instance, we went and saw Top Gun Maverick as a team. We had the entire movie theater to ourselves. So it's pretty cool.
Okay, let's get the review, Coach. I'm of the generation where I grew up. I think I was a teenager when Top Gun came out. I saw that in the theater, so I'm pretty fond of the franchise there. I gave it a thumbs up. What did you guys think?
Oh, two thumbs up for sure.
All right. Did the kids like it?
Yeah, they loved it. Yeah, it was excellent. It was a good experience. We had so much fun, and it was a good little mental break for the boys.
Oh, I can imagine that. Now, how many of the kids, I'll bet all of their parents have seen Top Gun, but are the kids now wanting to see the original? How many of you think they have seen the first one?
About half of them said that they had seen the first one now because their parents made them watch it, which I think is good parenting. But I do think that the other half still hasn't seen it yet, and they say that they do want to.
Well, you guys, Randy, have some experience with this kind of thing. And, you know, Goodlettsville has had some great teams. It's been so much fun to watch, you know, some good players in this area compete and at times get to Williamsport. So it's not the first time that a team's been in this position. Of course, Nolensville was in a great position last year. So what's the key in your mind to trying to keep that even keel, like you said, balance out having fun and also playing your best?
Well, you know, this is my third time as the head coach being in the region. In 2018, we lost. The team that we're playing today actually beat us to put us out. We lost a 2-1 ball game in 2018. And then last year, I was the head coach as well. And we have two returning players this year from last year's team. So I think the biggest thing is having that experience. You know, there's no substitute for experience. And having those two leaders on our team help keep the boys loose, but also can tell them stories about, hey, this is what happened last year, this is how we did things last year, and that means a lot more coming from them than it does from me.
One of the things I like, you know, when you just flip on these games, it just fascinates me. It could be any part of the country. I don't even know, other than you guys, you know, who's going to be on at a particular time, but I always find myself watching a couple innings just to see how the kids handle themselves, how the coaches handle themselves, and I'm sure you feel that, Randy, because that's part of what you want to showcase, right, when you get a spot like this, is, you know, what you're teaching these guys long-term.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, baseball is more about the game, you know, more than a game. It's more about life. You know, we teach these kids how to play a baseball game. But we also, when we're out of town, you know, we're talking about manners. We're talking about being polite. We're talking about being gracious. And during the games, you know, things don't always go our way, so we have to be resilient. You know, all those things that you're going to need later in life, and we try to teach that every single day. I don't know if you saw the clip of our last game where I was out on the mound, and I really didn't talk a whole lot about baseball. I was just talking to the pitcher about, hey, slow down and calm your breathing. Let's just relax. Let's relax. It's a big moment, you know. Trying to get those kids just know that if you're ever in a big moment, hey, stop for a minute. Slow down. Relax. Everything's going to be fine. We'll be okay. You know, so, you know, that's the big thing that I try to teach these kids. It's, you know, baseball's kind of secondary. And we also always try to keep it fun.
I enjoyed that clip a lot, the mound visit there. And I think it's cool when you see the coaches and their different approaches like that, but it does always seem to come back to something that you can hold on to, and hopefully all those kids will remember that, you know, when they're 16, 17, when they're in high school and then on down later in life, maybe before a big meeting they have at work or a big test they're going to take in college or something like that. Sometimes something as simple as just, you know, relaxing and breathing can make a difference.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because my phone just exploded during that game. After that game, I had about 80 missed texts and messages, and one of them was a kid that I coached in 2000, and so 22 years ago, and he said, "Coach, I remember you saying that same thing to me on the mound, and I still think that today." So, pretty cool.
Talking to Randy Huth, he's the head coach of the Nolensville Little League team, and you talk about saying things like that 22 years ago. I mean, how rewarding is this for you personally to be able, like you said, you know, prepare these kids for things other than baseball?
Oh, it's amazing. And the fact that, you know, those kids still stay in touch with me today is more rewarding than any game I could ever play. You know, the fact that they still want to tell me about their accomplishments, or they still want to invite me to their wedding, you know, that kind of stuff is just amazing as a mentor and a coach. You know, I couldn't ask for any more special moment than when a kid reaches back out to me to either share something with me or ask for advice. It's perfect.
So, Coach, go get him this afternoon. We're looking forward to it. So 4 o'clock on ESPN, I think, is when you're slated to start?
That's right. It's 4:02, the actual start time on the big ESPN.
All right. Well, that's great. You get
that's
the spotlight
so awesome.
Like that. So do you find yourself, do the boys find themselves watching some of the other games from around the country? I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah. They want to watch the other games, but more importantly, they want to watch themselves. As soon as we get back to the room, they're like, man, Coach, pull up that video of me. Let me see what I look like. But I look cool. And I'm like, guys, of course you look cool.
Oh, man. I would absolutely feel the same way if I were 12. No question about it. I think I would feel the same way when I was 25. But, you want to see, especially if you did something well. The other thing I always get a kick out is you get to fill out that questionnaire. Who's your favorite actor? Who's your favorite player? All of those things, favorite habit. I think I saw one kid, his ritual before the game, he's got to get the good luck high five from his little sister. Just always the things that they think about are so great. And those are the things that not only do you want to go back and watch them after the game is over, but 20 years from now, some of those clips are favorites. In fact, Randy, you probably saw this. The Sunday night baseball game had the Dodgers. And Cody Bellinger had a big game. He had 2 home runs, and they kept winding it back to when he was in the Little League World Series when he was 12, way back in 2007.
Yeah, that's so cool. The kids are going to look back on this forever and be able to see themselves on TV and be able to say, look, Mom, or look to tell their kids and their grandkids, look, my favorite food back then was this, or my favorite book or my favorite athlete was this. And we also, we made a point last year, we learned this. We bought all the kids notebooks, so we journal every single night, make them journal
cool.
So they write down, so they don't forget the small things that happen that they might lose along the way. So years from now, they'll be able to look back and be like, oh, yeah, I remember when we did that.
Well, Coach, best of luck today. We'll all be paying attention and watching, and, have fun out there for sure. But thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Hopefully next time I'll be able to say region champions when I talk to you.
Yeah, let's Absolutely. Hope the journey's not over. Let's hope we get to do this again from the state of Pennsylvania. That'd be awesome.
That would be fantastic, guys. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Randy Huth, the Nolensville Little League head coach. Again, 4 o'clock today on ESPN. They will battle a team out of Virginia as they look to punch their ticket to Williamsport. It's always a fun time of year. And, we've talked to these coaches a ton over the years, and he's right, though. They're 12. You just got to have fun. Enjoy it. But I will say that seeing some of the competitiveness with these boys, even though they're 12 years old, I mean, that's also cool to see. That they get it. They understand
sure.
at this age the difference in winning and losing. And, you can't really teach that. You just kind of have to go through it.
I watch for little things. I was watching a game last night, 2 teams from the D.C. area. And one team was up 4-0. The other team came back. There was a kid at third base. These are the things I think about. This kid booted 2 balls in a row. And the other team came back, had a third ball hit to him, and he made a really nice play. Short hopped a ball, came home, and got a force. And I was like, all right, that's kind of what it's about, right? Because this is what happens in baseball, maybe more so than any game. Your failures are right out there for everybody to see, right? You strike out, you make an error, stuff like that. That's what you have to be able to deal with, and that's a great life lesson, right? And so you feel for the kid who's 11 or 12 years old making a mistake that is on TV, that kind of thing. You don't want to let that snowball. So I love when a guy makes a mistake and then is able to bounce back and make a good play. You feel good about that, and it's so important for the coaches to kind of have the perspective. I love what I'm hearing from Randy there because that's everything, right?
Yeah.
You're going to make mistakes. They're so young. And it's so easy for us as parents sometimes to be going, what's the matter? How could you not remember to throw the ball to second there? We all knew that, we practiced this. So you have to resist that impulse, which is so much harder than you think it is as a parent. Or if you're growing up, you go, oh, yeah, you never want to do that. But then you'll see invariably you have to fight that urge when you're sitting in the stands. And you see it. Some parents are better than others that, being able to keep that right mindset when you're watching your boys play.
Chase Willie and D-Mace is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Coming up next, have we seen a change in Ryan Tannehill, and is he taking more ownership of the team? We'll discuss that coming up next. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Talk about guys making plays specifically for you. And I heard it in the SiriusXM interview you did over the weekend. Is there more of an ownership of the offense for you personally with this group this year?
I don't know. I take ownership every year, you know, but I keep saying the same thing. It just gives me a lot of confidence when guys are making plays. You know, I think early on you're kind of giving guys an opportunity, right? You know, they haven't had the opportunity to make a play, especially some of the young guys. You're giving them opportunity, and they make the play. Then you give them another opportunity, and then you kind of build that confidence. Even if you don't make every one, you get that confidence that they're going to make more than they don't. So at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Like I said, beating the guy across from you, and if QB gives you a chance making a play on the ball, then from our seats as quarterbacks is, you know, if a guy has shown to do that, it's our job to get him a ball in a spot where they can go get it.
Ryan Tannehill yesterday on taking ownership, a little more ownership with the offense. It's not that I don't think he had ownership, but I just feel like he's been a little more vocal with some of these players, and I like that. I think that's good, and I think it, in turn, you know, that's going to help their confidence in him. Back here in Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick with you. And, you know, this could be one of those topics that we probably make a bigger deal about than maybe it really is. But I get, you know, I asked you earlier, when you look at this team, kind of how you feel right now. How I feel right now, 10 practices in before the first preseason game that you're not going to really learn a whole lot about. Maybe some of the young guys you'll be able to get a better idea of. I feel like that they're more cohesive than they have been maybe in a long time, even as the number one seed. And that starts with the quarterback. He's got his head right now. They got to play the games. You know, he could go out and throw four picks against the Giants, and then we're having the same conversation we had after the Bengals game. But I feel like he's got his head right now, and the coach is confident in him. His team is confident around him, and he's confident in himself. And if that's the case, and I think they're in a position that they love being in, and that is nobody's picking them, or not as many people are picking them. You have a lot of people that maybe – had their eyes on the Titans, and then they traded A.J. Brown, and now they've shifted their focus to the Colts, and they're buying the whole Matt Ryan thing. I think they love that. They feed off of that. And I think Tannehill feeds off of that.
I think that's a good rallying cry. It's as old as time, right? They're picking the other guys. We are the two-time defending champs, and everybody's picking them. I do think that that is a really good sense of motivation, as dumb as that seems. I'm not as into the ownership thing. I think we could make a lot of that in training camp. I do think, in general, the key for Tannehill will be just to put behind him the game, the last game. If he can just put that behind him and grow from it, that's everything. Because I really think that a bounce-back season is in the cards for him. If he has a reasonable amount of luck, he had, I thought, at different times of the season last year, an overwhelming amount of circumstances. What do we always say about Ryan Tannehill? He's not the perfect quarterback. He needs good support. Did he get that support last year? No. I thought he had a huge mound of things that went against him. We've talked a lot about how little Julio Jones and A.J. Brown were on the field at the same time. 30% of his dropbacks. I was surprised to actually hear that it was as high as 30%. I thought it might have been less than that. But only three out of 10 snaps he took the whole year, or dropbacks, were those two on the field at the same time. And when they were, pretty good chance, there's a big chunk of that 30% where one of the two of them were playing hurt and not 100% at all. And so there was a big drop-off after that of the guys he was throwing to. And the other thing that I might think is even more, here's a couple other numbers for you of what he was dealing with. Tannehill, as we know, he's never been a guy that elevates everybody, but he had very poor pass protection last year. He was knocked down the third most of any quarterback last year. Third most of any quarterback. The other guys, were ironically Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz. How about that? He had the fifth highest rate of knockdowns in the on the season. Taking sacks has always been an issue for Tannehill. The increased pressure didn't help. This is out of Football Outsiders. Tannehill is one of six quarterbacks to have a negative efficiency rate on plays inside the pocket, and that came with the seventh lowest rate of plays outside the pocket. So I thought he had to just survive. I do think he's not as bad as he played last year, as the numbers showed. He's probably not as good as the numbers were the year and a half before that. I think the numbers are likely to be somewhere in between. But let's not forget, despite all of the issues he had last year, they won 12 games. And when the game was on the line, he found ways to win way more often than not. I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. I feel good about a bounce-back year for him. I think it's another story. If they can make the playoffs again, we're going to have the big – that's when it really is on the line. But regular season, I feel very good about this team's continuity, the program that they have. They believe they're going to win. They believe they're going to have success. They believe in the formula that they have. I think that goes a long way.
Yeah, and look, obviously we got to see it play out, but I feel like this team, as it's constructed right now, if it can stay healthy, will be better than last year's team. They may not be the number one seed again, but I mean, like, just competitively on the field, winning games, you know, I think they can be. I think ultimately there's more potential for more talent, you know, on this current team as last year. I mean, you just pointed it out. How many times that A.J. Brown and Julio Jones were on the field at the same time? You obviously had Derrick Henry, who missed half the season with an injury. Injuries are going to happen. There's going to be a key player that gets hurt. It happens to every team in the NFL. But I think this team is deeper, or has the potential to be deeper than they've had. I mean, I look at these receivers, and, you know, outside of Treylon Burks, who's had a nice camp, and Robert Woods, you know, Westbrook Akine, I mean, does Racy McMath scare you? No, not yet. But I think that he's putting in the work, and he's showing you that he deserves a shot, deserves to be on this roster. I think Des Fitzpatrick has bounced back and come a long way. Now, how are they going to be able to contribute? That's kind of what we're waiting to see. But, you know, I feel good about things, starting with the quarterback right now. And, you know, if he does, one thing I've noticed too, you brought up how much he got knocked down. I do feel like he's trying to get rid of the ball quicker.
Well,
that's big.
I thought there were times where he had no choice. He had to get rid of the ball or take the sack. They had blown blocks. Another thing, if you take a look at the numbers from Football Outsiders, they rated very high in blown blocks. So I think probably even more so than the fact that they've overhauled their entire receiving core, including the tight ends, which is a major question mark. I don't know. I think we're drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit if we're starting to get to where we know they're going to be better there. But I do think it's reasonable to think that they can be better there because of how often they did not have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones on the field. So this new group, this new formula, I think can still be better than it was last year if they get the pass protection. The pass protection, to me, is the key. If you give him time to throw, he can be effective. But last year, he really was in a position where he had to get rid of the ball quick. They even pointed out that there were some chances for interceptions that the other team had that they didn't get, so the numbers actually could have been worse. Just because sometimes there was a guy coming free, and his choice was to eat it or just try to throw it quick and take the risk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pass protection has to be better.
Sure, and look, I would say that question has not been answered yet because we don't even know who the starting left guard or right tackle is going to be yet. I mean, that's certainly going to come with time of exactly what's going to happen there and who's going to win those jobs. I think that you'll see Aaron Brewer and Dylan Radins and Nicholas Petit-Frere play in the preseason games, and you should. I mean, they need game action. But ultimately, it may come down to the wire for those questions to get answered unless somebody really, you know, shows themselves and steps forward. But they have to protect him better. I mean, they have to. He can make plays with his legs, but you got to give him time too. I don't know if there's a, in all your Football Outsider stuff, a stat on how long he held, you know, he typically holds the ball, but I'd be curious on that. Cause I do feel like there's been times that he's held on to it a little too long in his career, not just last year, but I'd be curious of that as well. Coming up next, who are we looking at that needs to show something in the first preseason game, which you may go, it's the first preseason game, but I'm talking about some of these young guys that you want to see something from. We'll discuss that coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 going to join us at 11. Our weekly conversation with Tim Hasselbeck at noon today. It's Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I had the Big Ten and the SMU stuff after Corey.
Okay.
The final countdown to the fall sports season is approaching, and before everyone hunkers down in their man cave, we're providing the ultimate date night opportunity. A pair of tickets to see Michael Bublé at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, August 16th. Plus, you can qualify to win a Davidoff cigar, blend bar, cocktail, and gift card. Just tune in today during the 12 o'clock hour for your chance to win. Brought to you by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. We'll have Titans trivia for you again, so you can try and win some Michael Bublé tickets coming up at Bridgestone Arena next week, a week from today. So should be fun. Should be fun. Pay attention and listen for that. Thursday night, Willie, the Baltimore Ravens. Ah, what a matchup. Titans-Ravens in the preseason. Cannot wait for that. I'll watch. I mean,
oh, yeah, you got to watch. No question. You always find little clues. I have my way of watching the games. I'm going to have to be watching from Ireland this year, so I'm not sure what time I'm going to be watching the game or if it'll be live when I watch it. But I don't believe – I think obviously the results don't matter, but you do look to see who jumps out at you, right? And one of the guys I'm looking at, I'm assuming he'll play quite a bit, is Rashad Weaver. I thought he had some moments last year before he got hurt. I took yours?
Yeah.
We did not consult,
before. That's okay. I got a few.
But I do think that's a guy that I hope can pick up where he left off. I think he was showing that he had the ability. You'd love to have those extra guys in the bullpen in the defensive rotation, especially edge pass rushers. You're just, you know, you're so much better off if you've got those guys waiting in the wings. I think you're going to have a really good year from Bud Dupree. Mm-hmm. I think Harold Landry is an established guy. You know he's going to be solid, but you need that third or fourth guy, too, to spell them every now and then and not have drop-off. I love when you can bring in a fresh guy on an obvious passing down and a guy is a real threat to get to the quarterback, especially if he's got a one-on-one block. I think that's the position Weaver could find himself in some this year. And if he's as good as he can be, there's an opportunity for him. So I want to see him do well.
Yeah, I do too. Another guy that I'm looking at is a second-year player out of Michigan State, Naquan Jones, who made this team last year, was a contributor, undrafted guy. It was funny, you go from Daquan Jones wearing number 90 to Naquan Jones wearing number 90. But he's somebody that I can tell the coaches, Vrabel especially, like. I think he's very much in the mix for things, you know, is a good depth piece. But, you know, you want to see him take some leaps from year one to year two. So I'm going to be paying attention to him. And again, Vrabel was very mum, was not going to say anything on who's playing, how long they're going to play, etc. We won't know that until Thursday night. But you know, I would imagine, you know, some of these young guys that we're talking about, you're certainly going to see them play. I mean, they, you know, we talk about the secondary and how there's a little bit of an injury thing going around. I mean, Shakir Brown, who, again, another Michigan State guy, he's had a nice camp. You know, I would imagine he's going to get a lot of playing time at cornerback. See what you got there. You know, is he in the mix to actually make this team? I think right now he could be, depending on how many corners they take, want to keep, because you never have enough corners. But and then it's the offensive line. I mean, you know, are you gonna see a lot of Brewer? Are you going to see a lot of Radins? Are you going to see a lot of Nicholas Petit-Frere? I would say probably so, especially the younger two, the two tackles. And I think that's important to see, you know, even though they're not going to be with Tannehill, even though they're not going to be with the full offensive line, You know, I don't know if Jones and Lawan, Nate Davis, I don't really know if they play or how much they play.
Yeah,
but you still want to get those guys reps.
As we've talked about a lot, I think these games are looked upon a lot differently than they were even 5 or 10 years ago. I'm going to throw that out there to Tim Hasselbeck when we have him on and get his take on that. So I don't know what Mike Vrabel's, you know, thoughts are on this game. How, you know, any starters, how many starters will be in there at all? But I also, and this is an obvious one, this is might be the Captain Obvious Award of the day, but I want Logan Woodside to show me that I want him to have me feeling good that if he's called upon during the season, that he's got some tools, that he's got the makeup to be able to win a game. I want him coming out. I want to come out of there thinking, okay, I like what I'm seeing there. I like how he commands the huddle. I like some throws he's making. I'd love to see him have some success because I think it means more for him, having never played any significant time in a real game. So it means more to me that he does well in the next best thing you can show. Now, you might argue that the controlled scrimmages that they're going to have in the coming weeks might be more important than this game here.
Yeah.
Even though this one will be on TV with the uniforms and everything like that, but I still want to see it. And, of course, with Willis, you know, you could see any number of things from Malik Willis. And I wonder what the reaction will be because he's going to play a lot. Right, I think it will be important not to overreact, which we always do, on everything.
Yeah,
but no more so than the quarterback. Right, he could go out there and make some great plays, and you think, oh my gosh, this guy's amazing, or he could really stink it out. I think both extremes are possible. You might see a little bit of both, but I think it's important to continue to look long term. But I think let's just be excited to see what he looks like out there.
My guess is Woodside gets the first half, Willis gets the second half. If I had to guess. Tannehill won't play. I don't even know if they take him. You know,
who knows?
I don't even know if he goes. But the thing on that, though, is I think best case scenario is you see good and bad out of both of them, but one doesn't outplay the other because the overreaction is going to be more so if Willis outplays Woodside. Then the narrative is going to be, oh, there's a quarterback competition for the backup quarterback, which I don't believe there is.
No, I don't think there's any competition.
But and even if Willis outplays him in the first preseason game, I still don't think that makes it a competition. I just think it's okay, it's one game. We got some things to work on with Woodside. Willis showed out, looked good. There's still some things to work on with him, and you keep it moving. But you know, there's going to be a narrative, and there's going to be the, well, should there be a competition?
If there's not,
should there be?
I hope not.
But you know there will be.
Well, I hope not from the media standpoint. I think they're smarter than that. To me, there's no scenario after this first game that you could change your viewpoint. Here's the one thing to keep in mind. If it's Malik Willis playing, let's say, the fourth quarter, one thing in the first preseason game that you have, you still have close to 90 guys in uniform. And so let's assume that the starters either don't dress or if they play, they're only going to play for a very, very small portion of the game. By the end of the game, you're getting guys in that are going to be cut next week.
Yeah.
There's a very limited playbook. How does Malik Willis, and at the same time, the other team, the Ravens, will have guys in there that are going to be cut in the coming days. They're just getting one shot to play in one game. So it can often be a very chaotic situation. So take that in stride when you watch how Malik Willis does under those circumstances. You could find out some really good things with that. But if he doesn't do well, just remember that that is part of the equation here, is the first preseason game in the fourth quarter. And you can think back, if you watch Hard Knocks, you can probably think of some games where it's one of the funniest things sometimes because you have absolute chaos. You've got coaches on the sideline going, where is so-and-so? Where is Wilson? Get him in there. Or, you know, you got the one guy who's been waiting to get in the game the whole time. His parents are in the stands. They're mic'd up, the cameras on. And, he didn't get in. It's almost like Rudy.
Is tonight the first one? Or was it last week?
Oh, I don't even know.
I haven't. It's the Lions.
The Lions are – okay, this is my – I believe the Lions will be within a game of 500 this year. I think they're going to make a jump.
Okay, mark that.
7 or 8 wins.
Mark that.
7 or 8
you
wins.
You believe in Dan Campbell.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I mean, I like Dan Campbell, but.
Seven or eight wins, I'm saying, for the Lions this year.
Okay. Interesting. You bring up cuts. I pulled these up. So next Tuesday, rosters have to go from 90 to 85. So they'll only make 5 cuts.
Yeah, but you don't understand. There's going to be 15 or 20 guys playing.
Sure.
That even if they don't miss the first cut, or if they make it through they're going
to
be cut.
But remember, I'm bringing this up because in 2018, 2019, they just went 90 to 53. They got rid of the phase system. They've brought that back now, which I kind of like that. So you go 90 to 85 on August 16th, August 23rd, 85 to 80, and then August 30th, 80 to 53.
They've designed it now. I can remember a long time ago, Jeff Fisher talking about in the last preseason game, you know, he didn't want to play a lot of starters, but the roster had to be to a certain point, so he had to play some guys that were important players in that last preseason game, and those guys didn't want to play in that game. I think I don't want to misinterpret this, but I think there was one year where Brad Hopkins sort of had to play. They just the numbers, his position, he had to play more than he wanted to. He's like, man, I didn't want to be out there. What's going on? It's the last preseason game. So that is part of the reason I think they've done it that way. But it'll be fun. Always try to keep perspective, as hard as it is. We haven't watched this team in uniform play in a long, long time. It's easy to overreact. I guarantee you're going to see it on any number of fronts. But keep it in stride. Keep perspective. I'm going to be in Ireland when this happens. I won't be able to say it for you after the game. But, Chase, I'm counting on you.
Well, I won't be here Friday. So
well, I'm counting on everybody Friday. That's out there. Just chill out a little bit. If things go really well or really poorly, it doesn't mean that much.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and The Game Nashville app.